It is indeed great to see you today. Thank you very much for making the decision to be a part of the Azalea City Church this morning. I do want to say I appreciate all those who have served, like was mentioned this morning, but I also appreciate what Bill said to us. There have been those who have laid down their lives so that we can be here today. And I am thankful and indebted to those families and to all of those who have fought and continue to fight to keep us free. Thank you to Brother Steve for leading us in our singing today. The battle does belong to the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we do not have to fight it alone, that we do not have to fight it by ourselves. We just have to turn it over to our God. I'm also thankful again for Bill's words as he challenged us to think about the one who gave his life so that we can be free. Free from the ultimate price, the ultimate death, that being death by sin. I'm also thankful for Ethan, who read to us from God's Word. Thank you, brother, for that. Thank you to all of those who have had an active part in our service today. It is a blessing to be able to be here with you. I am excited. Today is a day that a lot of people will travel, but you made the decision to stay in town. Maybe the weather has something to do with that. I don't know, but I am so thankful that we have this opportunity today. It is Memorial Day weekend. It is an opportunity for people to be with their families. It is the kickoff to summer. We've got Russell here this morning, and we're excited about Russell being with us this year. We're excited. I've known Russell for a while now. He's helped save, he hasn't saved anybody's life to my knowledge, but he's helped protect our children out at camp. I want you to think we didn't tell you about something, but out at Bible camp, as being the lifeguard the last few years. I told somebody I'd stick my foot in my mouth today, and there you go. I've already done it. But anyhow, we're thankful for Russell. I've known him through Bible camp. Speaking of Bible camp, get registered. It's coming up. Speaking of the summer kickoff, next Sunday, this place will be a day of worship, but then we'll transform it into Babylon. Okay? It will be Vacation Bible School 2018. So make plans to fill this place up, okay? Fill this place up with children and families. Today being Memorial Day week, this being Sunday to kick off to Memorial Day tomorrow, I want to talk to you about something I think is very important. But I also think it's something that goes right along with our theme. And I also think it goes right along with what I'm trying to get across in the next several weeks. We've talked a lot about doing more for God. What's on the other side of that? Well, the other side of that, the opposite of that, would be doing less. You know, there is the thought process with some, the less I do, and if I can survive, I'll be okay. You know, in grades, you know, the least amount of work I can do to get by, to make mom and daddy happy so I don't get in restriction or I don't get beaten, whatever floats your boat at your house, that's what I want to do. Well, that doesn't work spiritually. It doesn't work really well in any other thing either. But it really doesn't work spiritually. Spiritually, less is not best. God wants us to do our very best. He wants us to do the most we possibly can. But we want to talk about less. And last week we talked about priorities, about putting God where He needs to be. And so today we want to definitely talk about being bold for God. Today, if we're not careful, we can lose our voice. The world's trying to muzzle us, aren't they? They are trying to hush us up. Slowly but surely, I can see some things changing, if you will. I can see some people speaking up and realizing we are not the minority. The Christian voice is still very big, very popular. Unfortunately, the news media doesn't show that. But what we have to do is make sure we do not turn the volume down. I know some of you may want me to turn the volume down in here sometimes because I am loud. But as a Christian nation as a whole, we do not need to be turned down, folks. We need to be turned up. We have a voice. We have the best news of all. And we need to make sure it gets out. You know, when I think of boldness, I think of the men and women who gave that ultimate price. I look back there and see Chaz, who is part of the United States Marine Corps, dressed in his blues today, and I appreciate that. There are others who have done those things. And I think about all gave some, but some did give all. And the blood that was shed for the flag and for the freedom of the United States of America is awesome and heroic. But folks, so is the blood that was shed for the Christian nation as well. That blood that was shed, that we just memorialized, that blood that we partook of in the communion with one another is the blood that covers a multitude of sins. And today, I am proud to stand behind this podium and on this stage, and I am proud to proclaim boldly the name of Jesus Christ. The question I want to have to us all is, are we? When we leave out of here, are we proclaiming the name? When we go to work, are we proclaiming the name? Well, Terry, we can't because my work will get upset. I understand that. But there are more ways to proclaim the name than just by speaking it. We've got to live Jesus Christ. He has got to be so far in us, and we've got to be so full of Him that we can't help but Jesus to come out. And today, it is my prayer that we do not do less. We do not say less. We do not speak less. We do not speak up less, but we speak up all the more. We let our light shine. We recognize the battle does belong to the Lord, so I am going to give back to Him through word and deed. You know, it was Moses, when he had the conversation there with his brother, his nephew, Lot. Do you remember when the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of, it's Abraham, I'm sorry. I knew that was wrong. I knew in my head, you could tell I paused. Abraham and Lot had that conversation together. And you remember the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot, they had really literally gotten so big that the town wasn't big enough for the two of them. And there was fighting and there was quarreling going on, and people had quit speaking up and giving God the glory, if you will, because all this fighting, this detention, this dissension had risen. And so what happened? Abraham said, no, this is enough. He said, Lot, we don't need to do this. And the old King James, and I like it because the way it says it, it says, we be brethren. We're brothers. Well, when you ask those who served in the military, they say, hey, that is my brother, that is my sister, and they're fighting for the cause of freedom. Well, today I look around and I see my brothers and my sisters, and there ought to be no fighting, there ought to be no quarreling, there ought to be no dissension, because we be brethren, and we are fighting for the cause of Christ. And we need to be united, and we need to be one, and we need to be bold. There is a common goal between all of us, and that common goal is heaven. There is a common gift given to all of us, and that common gift is Jesus Christ and salvation. There is one common God that we all have, and He needs to be Lord of all in our lives today. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, if you will, please. Bibles are devices. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Let me read this to you. You know these passages, right? Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. They were all together one. You know, if we were to take our cord today, our our rope today, our string today, that we were going to secure something with, and we were to cut a little bit of it off. Could it still get the job done? Yes, but it's going to be weaker. If we were to fray a little bit of it on the end and take some of those frays out, some of those strands out, could we still get the job done? Possibly, but it's going to get weaker. The more we take off, or the less we do, the weaker that bond's going to be. So let me say it this way. If today we do not have every voice speaking up in the name of Jesus Christ, then the church of our God's voice is weaker today. Does it still get the job done? Yes. Will it still exist? Yes. But the more we speak up, and the more we bond together, just like they went into that upper room together with one, and that voice boomed, I bet it rattled the throne room of God when they got on their knees and they prayed. Folks, they knew that their lives were about to be flipped upside down. To the extent, I'm not sure, but Jesus told them, this is about to happen to you. Can you imagine now them rallying together, maybe even joining hands, being on their knees, locking arm in arm, and praying with one accord, God, help us! Can you imagine the foundations of the throne of God vibrating and echoing as that voice united together was heard? Today that can happen with us. We can rally together. We can pray together. We can stand arm in arm together, and we can shout the name of Jesus Christ to the world together. This is illustrated best to me in the book of Acts, even later on. Turn in your Bibles to Acts 4, please. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of what's going on here in this book. You remember after they pray this prayer, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon them, and they are going to have the miraculous power of the Spirit where they can speak in one, their native language, and everybody around them hear in their own language. It was a miracle for certain. And so when they speak in their native tongue and everybody heard in their native tongue, people didn't understand that phenomenon, right? And so they said, hey, what's going on? And so what did they conclude? Well, we don't know. What else is wrong with them? They're just drunk. And so they accuse them of being drunk. But Peter stands up in Acts 2. He's one voice right there. But remember, they had prayed together. They had united together. And now the Holy Spirit has his back. And so he stands up and he says, let me tell you something, my friends. We are not drunk. And he tells them why. And then he starts talking to them. He goes Old Testament. And he starts letting them know stuff they're familiar with. He even gets to David, a man that in Jewish tradition is as high as anybody but Jesus Christ today. Well, not in Jew, but I mean, that the way we treat Jesus is the way they treated David. Okay? And so their name, that name means so much to him. But you know what he tells them about David? Their precious king who was united king over Israel. He says he's in a grave dead. But not Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the King of Kings, He's alive. He said, and you had Him here and you nailed Him to a tree. Well, you remember what happens after that. They are pricked in the heart, and so they stop Him and they say, hey, what do we need to do? We've got all this guilt, all this on us. And of course, He tells them to repent and be baptized. 3,000 of them respond to the Lord's invitation, right? And they get immersed in water for the remission of their sins. And they continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And everything is going great. The number grows because in Acts 3, they encounter this lame man at the Gate Beautiful, and they heal him. And so now people are talking, and the number grows to 5,000 men. Well, then it tells us it's growing by multitudes. But now Acts 4 gets along, and guess what? People aren't happy. People are upset with these people. And that's where I want to pick up today. Look at verse 1. As they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them. Religious people, by the way. being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached to Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They're greatly disturbed. They're bothered by this. So what do? They said, hey guys, don't do this. No. They laid hands on them, put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. They locked them up, put them in jail. Why? Because they taught in the name of Jesus Christ. However, many of those who heard the word believed, the number of the men came to be 5,000. That's the number I was telling you about. It came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. All these religious people, right? These priests and the priest's family and all this, they get together and they say, hey, we got a problem. Look at it. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Guess who speaks up? Old Peter again. Peter speaks up, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, this is about the man at the gate beautiful, folks. They healed him in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, if we've done a good deed to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all people, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I love this, whom you crucified. He didn't have to say it, but he did. Whom you killed. Look at what happened. God raised him from the dead. Oh, hold on, time out. Why is that bad news? Because if you back up to verse 2, they were upset, the Sadducees. Remember, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead, right? They are like, uh-uh, don't talk about that. They said, hey, oh, by the way, Jesus Christ, whom you killed, God raised him up. Tell me that's not bold. That's bold, folks. He said, and by him. You want to talk about object? I like object lessons, but I don't have any today, except the PowerPoint. But he's got the man at the gate beautiful, the lame man. He's got him with him. He said, this man, he's standing right here whole because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Then he goes on to say, this is the stone which was rejected by you builders. Now he's quoting some Old Testament on them. Which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now when they saw the cowardness, the spinelessness, no, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. It's amazing, isn't it? They realized that they had been with Jesus. Folks, let me stop right there. Let me say this. I don't know when my life will end, obviously. And I don't know who will preach my funeral. Okay? I may record it myself. Who knows? I make sure somebody says some good things about me. Okay? But listen. Whoever that may be, whenever that may be, if they simply say, this man had been with Jesus, that's all I need said about me. I hope that's all. I hope that's how I'm known. Peter and John didn't care about... They were uneducated and untrained. That was obvious. They knew they were fishermen. Jobs that not everybody just longed to have. But they said, hey, these guys, they've been with Jesus. There's more to the story. We're going to get there in just a minute. But to me, that's wow-type scripture. That's where I want to be. When I think about the blood that was shed for the United States of America, and listen, I'm not going to get political in the pulpit, okay? But I have no problem standing for the Pledge of Allegiance of our country. I have no problem putting my hand over my heart and saying in unison that I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. I have no problem because I know the men and women who gave their lifeblood so that I and my family can reap what we have today. So I'm going to tell you right now, when I know that Jesus Christ gave His lifeblood for me, I want to have no problem standing in the face of threats, in the face of trouble, in the face of persecutors, and saying, "My Jesus Christ is King." That's what I want us to leave here doing. And I'm going to give you some ammunition to load your guns with, your gospel guns, if you will. And here they are. First of all, I want you to know that as Christians, we can't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. We can't be ashamed to speak up boldly for our Lord. You know what they did? They preached Jesus. Even though they had locked them up and put them in prison, there's more to the story we're going to get to in just a moment. They had locked them up and put them in prison because they had preached about the resurrection of the dead. They stared those priests, those Sadducees in the face, and they said, "Hey, you killed Jesus, but God raised Him up." They knew what they were doing. But they got the point across. They didn't do it with hesitation. They did it with boldness because of the one who shed His blood for them. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul boldly states there, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why, Paul? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, I want to give you something to think about. You've heard me say this a lot of times, but I think it brings a powerful point. Today, as you journey to wherever you're going, notice the vehicles around you. Their vehicles tell their life story. It is amazing. You will instantly know how many children a lot of them have because they will have the little stick figures, even the dog, that are in their family. Some of them are going to have the Disney hats on. I know we got some Disney lovers in here, right? Okay. They're going to have the Disney shirts on. That means they love Disney World. Some of them are going to have on their vehicles a red A and about 478 national championship things. Okay. Some of them might even have the lowly orange and blue. Even on my truck, I've got a couple stickers on there. I don't have that many kids or in my family and all that. But I've got an MC for Mobile Christian, and I've got Azalea City Church of Christ. I've got a Faulkner University thing I keep forgetting to bring to Bill to put on. Why? Because those places are special to me. I want people to know that. I want people to ask me about it, so I can tell them. Some people have on there a 26.2. That will never be on my vehicle. But I thought about putting my bench press number on there one time, and I didn't. Anyhow, some might have, you know, how many miles, you know, how many marathons they've ran. There are all kinds of things. You might have your kids an all-star or a dancer or a cheerleader or an honor roll student. You might have some type of outdoorsman sticker. But you know what? I'm not knocking any of that. Justin, in our bulletin, he put the kids that made honor roll, and that is great. And by the way, I love Mobile Christian, but I love all the schools. I love all our students around here. I love these kids and how smart you guys are and what you're involved in, and that's great. But my question is, I can look at the vehicles, like I can tell that what they're not ashamed of. I can look at the t-shirts at Walmart and can tell what people aren't ashamed of. I can look in the bulletin and see kids were bragging on Facebook and everything else. That's great. Little Johnny hit 2 home runs and I'm so proud of little Johnny. Or they hit this, I don't know what a dance move is right now, but they did this best dance move or whatever, and that's okay. But how much am I bragging on Jesus Christ? How much am I looking my children in the face and saying, I am so proud you can say all 66 books of the Bible? Or that you led prayer at school. Those are the... And listen, I'm not going on guilt trip. I'm going on, we've got to do this. Flood Facebook with Jesus Christ. Not with gossip. Not with how miserable our day is. Or even how great our spouse is. Even though those things are great. Flood it with Jesus Christ. Flood social media. Flood your lives. You know, one of the proudest things I am, and I know some of you think, why are y'all not doing Edified? It's not because we do not love George. It's because we have busy schedules and we can't get them all together sometimes. But when Edified got taken down off Facebook twice, that's kind of cool to me. Because somebody was upset, not that that's cool, but it's being heard. How do we know that Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because his body wore the marks. His t-shirt were scars. His bumper stickers or decals on windows were on his face from when he got hit with stones. Maybe on his hand where he got bit by a snake. Maybe on his wrists where he'd been shackled up. He wore it. Just like we wear our teams. He wore it. Are we wearing Jesus Christ? But something else I want you to put in your gun today and to remember is that we already read it. There's no other name. In verse 12, it says again, there is no salvation in any other, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let me tell you, I love this mic drop. Have y'all heard that? The thing is, when somebody says something, mic drop, in other words, there's nothing else need to be said. Folks, there's nothing. That's the mic drop. There is no other name that we can be saved except for Jesus Christ. That is going into the final exam with all the answers. Okay? You're walking in, like they say, like a boss, right? You're walking into that final exam like a boss because you're going to make 100 and you're going to ace it. We are walking into whatever we have with the answer. We need to walk confidently. We need to walk boldly. And we need to speak boldly because we have the solution to the world's biggest problem. Jesus said it Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Peter and John could look at those Sadducees and those priests and all those gathered around them and say, hey, we're not ashamed because we've got the answer. Not Buddha. Not the Pope. Not John Calvin. Not John Wesley. Not Muhammad, not Alexander Campbell, not Barton Stone, not Terry Cagle, or anybody else, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. When we have that kind of confidence in the name, we can only help but be bold. Can't be ashamed. We've got the name. But I want to talk to you about one other name, and that's your name and my name. And that's the name Christian. Why does this give us boldness? If you go back to Acts 4, verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now before this, they severely threatened him with whatever that is. That may be life in prison, that may be a stoning, that may be beating, that may whatever it is, they severely threaten him. Don't do it. I can only see Peter just kind of stand up a little bit taller. He's already boldly said, hey, this man's resurrected from the grave. He didn't care what they were going to do to him. But he looks him in the face, and I see respect now. I don't see ugliness. I see him doing it in love. But he boldly loves them and looks them in the face and says, you've got to do what you've got to do. If it's a beating, get the rods. If it's imprisonment, get the shackles. If it's a stoning, get the stones. But we can't help it. I am so full of Jesus that Jesus has to come out. Now, what does that have to do? I don't know what they called them then. I know what they're going to call them in Acts 11. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But it didn't matter. Whatever name they called them, it didn't matter. Whatever threat they gave them, it didn't matter. Whatever punishment they did to them, it didn't matter. In Acts 11, verse 26, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Now I've heard a couple times people say this was a derogatory term. Oh, look at these little Christs. Well, technically, if you go and you look at the Greek side of these things, okay, when people were called something, there were really two words they referred to. Either one was kaleo, and that was used 150 times in the New Testament. Don't let me lose you on all this. Stay with me. The second one, which is referred to as here, is the word kremetizo. Kremetizo, okay? That's where we get the word Christian out of, okay? Kremetizo. And here's what I want you to see. That one's only used about 9 times, and that is this one, and it's always attached to God doing something. God warning, God revealing, God admonishing, or simply God speaking. And so when I look at that and when I think about that, I don't think it was derogatory. I think it was God-led. I think God wanted us to know that He wanted us to be called Christians. Because names matter. Your parents spent a lot of time thinking about your name. Do you know in my family, we are all TGC. Think we didn't get called down the roll. Toby, Glenn, Todd, Gerald, Terrell, Gregory. TGC. Why? My parents thought of that. That they wanted to do something and stick. You know, that meant something. We thought about, we have family names and the French is represented in, you know, in Madeline's name. And we could go on and on. That was important. So I think it was very important for God to think, I know what I want them to be called. And that's the name Christian. Michelle's last name is East. Many of you know that because of her parents, I-S-T-R-E. I remember saying, how in the world do you get East out of that? But when she married me, or I married her, we married together December of 1998. she took my name. And my children bear my name. When I married Jesus Christ in 1995, I took on His name. What an honor that is for me. And what an honor that is for you. God wants us to have names that bring glory to Him. He wants us to not be ashamed. He wants us to tell people there's only one name. But He wants us to bear His name. The body of Paul, the body of Peter, the body of Stephen, and I could go down the list, they bore the marks of boldness in Jesus Christ. Today, when I see a wounded soldier commercial, one in person, it always puts a lump in my throat. Because their bodies bear the marks. My dad's first cousin was one of the most decorated soldiers from the Vietnam War. But he was unstable mentally, and he had a lot of struggles because his body bore the marks. Today, my question to you, as we bring this to the greatest entity in existence, the kingdom of our Lord, what are we giving for Him? Today, if we haven't changed our name, then that means our lives aren't changed. Why don't we submit our lives to the King of Kings? Today, if we've walked shamefully, today it's time to quit being ashamed. Let's get it right. Let's let our light shine. And let's profess Jesus boldly as together we stand and sing.